this is Mo Knapp, the host.
Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Blog
Talk Radio.
It's 310.
Hello, this is Mo Knapp. 982. Calling.
111.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, this is Mo Knapp. And thank you for calling the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show. My co-host, my husband, John Legs, and my dear friend is at work on this evening. And we wish him very well on tonight. He's out making a living for the family. So thank you, John. You know, tonight, John, on behalf of John, my husband, as well as myself, we'd like to say thank you to all of our callers. I still see you out there calling in. So thank you very, very much. And you all could be doing something else, but you took out time tonight to call in on our show. So we really appreciate that. At this time, I'm going to ask that if you are on the line to please mute your cell phone so that we won't get any feedback or any sound. So take a minute to mute your phones. Thank you very much. Let me express that John and I, we believe that marriage really matters, and that's our motto. We believe that our audience believes in marriage, too. So that's why you joined us on tonight. So thank you in believing in the vision and the dream of having a happy and healthy marriage. So allow me to disclose that this is an open dialogue forum that will allow you to ask questions or express your thoughts about the subject matter. Tonight, our topic is becoming that total woman. Minister Michelle McKelfin is our host on tonight, and I tell you, I'm so excited to have this wonderful, beautiful lady as our guest on the show tonight. Michelle, are you out there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you for calling in and being our guest tonight. But before we open up the line to you, I'd like to explain that on the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show, we have discussed so many topics, such as anything you can do, I can do better, letting go of the past, the benefits of marriage, baby mama drama, and was that a show just full of drama? But we worked it out in Jesus' name, amen. Blended family, loving when it hurts, sex sanctified and married, and the pastor Keith, James Keith, who's married to the beautiful Tammy Keith, helped us out on that show, and boy, he was brilliant. He had a lot of helpful information about being saved, sanctified, and married. So on our previous show, we talked about letting go of the past, and we had more callers than ever to call in to hear that show, so we're very grateful of that. And so we'd like to also thank Crystal Rice, my sister, for that beautiful song that you gave us a couple of weeks ago. Minister and prayer warrior Kasha Ross, she was on that show, so thank you very much. It boosts our ratings. The woman of faith, Tammy Keith, and Minister Sheila Johnson of the Lunchtime Prayer Corner. Her motto is eat, pray, and believe. You can check her out on Faithspiration to all of us. Now, before we hit the topic, first I would like to tell you a little bit about the show. The platform of our show is to simply promote marriage and demote divorce. John and I, if I might disclose, we're not licensed counselors, but we feel that God has led us to help individuals understand the principles of marriage and to help restore marriages as a whole. So we encourage you to continue to call in and help us as we help others. We are under the umbrella of Granny's Place Ministry, where the lovely Beverly Veasley is our founder. LaShondra Lewis is the host of My Sister, My Friend. She has her own show, and it is awesome. So look her up on Granny's Place. Her husband is the host of Free on the Inside. And there are also other shows that are out there available for you to call in and listen to. For more information about Granny's Place Ministries, you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/GrannyPlace-Ministries.com or look us up on Facebook or Twitter. I know we got some tweeters out there. And for the Mojo Blog Radio Show, you can look us up on Facebook. So as we get closer to tonight's topic, we want you to be ready to listen up and tune in to our topics that are coming up on our show, dating before and after marriage. That should be interesting. In-law issues, money and marriage, how to keep the flame burning, patience, not punishment, dealing with children from another mother or another father, what's mine is mine, dealing with the dominant, the things I love about my mate. Those sound like some interesting coming that total woman. Tonight on our show, as I mentioned earlier, we have the beautiful, lovely, talented Michelle McKelfin. Might I add, Minister Michelle McKelfin. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I am fantastic, sis. How are you?
I'm great. We are so glad and so honored to have you on our show tonight. And might I add, you are the founder of Lila's. And could you tell us a little bit about that organization, if you would, please?
All righty. Well, Lila's was formed back in July of 2013. It was given to me from an idea by Chantella Scott, who is our membership coordinator for Lila's. And God had given it to her, say, 3 years prior to that July. And on that particular morning that she brought it to me, she sent me an email and she said, God had given me this vision for this organization, she said, and it's been 3 years. I haven't, you know, done anything with it. And she said, and this morning he told me that the vision wasn't for me, it was for you.
Wow.
And so when I got the email, I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. You know, immediately the enemy came to steal what God was wanting to bless us with. And after I read the email, I was just floored. And I was like, you know what? This is it. God had told me that I was going to head an organization. He never gave me a name, but he was just kind of preparing me, you know, had me studying about it. And I worked very closely with my father's organization for about 7 years. And so when I came over, I was like, okay, Lord, I believe this is you. And, you know, how often does another woman give you something so precious? You know,
Amen.
I knew it had to be God, just because we're not that way. And Chantella wasn't a childhood friend. She wasn't a high school friend. This is someone that I had probably known about 3 or 4 months there at my organization.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
how wonderful.
It was a godsend for real. Yes,
I would
ma'am.
Say so myself. I would say so myself. That's a great way to get an organization started is for God to deliver the message to you. And that was great. And so you took it. You ran with the vision. So let us know, what do you guys do? What is Lila's all about? And let us know what it stands for.
All righty. Well, Lila stands for Love You Like a Sister. In the community that I'm from, everyone for years called my mother sis. Like everyone. I mean, everybody. I mean, neighbors, her cousins. I mean, everyone. And I was like, wow, such a term of endearment. When God told us, love you like a sister, I was like, oh my gosh, I immediately thought of my mother. And I was like, okay, my mother was a true sister to people that were not her blood relatives. You know, and in that sense, she was a helper. She loved people. She tried to help everybody. You know, numerous amounts of God children. So Love You Like a Sister is our organization. We are here to make a difference in the community. We're active in the educational system. We're activists for education in our communities. We're here to support our sisters. You know, so often we get, you know, we get closed off, you know, through depression and, you know, financial devastation and things of that nature, and the enemy tries to isolate us. But Lila's is here so that we rid ourselves of that isolation that could be harmful to our sisters. You know, when we have a tendency as women to get overwhelmed, what do? We shut our doors. We close ourselves off. You know, and we cry in the dark, and nobody's there to help us. You know, even myself remember a time that, you know, I was going through a very bad divorce and wanted to commit suicide and was even to the point where I was going to. But in the midst of that being closed off, sending my kids away, God sent somebody to my house to let me know that's not what it is. And so Lilas is about being that support, that confidential support that's a safe place. You know, sometimes it's not the safest place to go to your family and get them involved in what's going on in your life, you know. But it's that sister on the outside that can be neutral and be there to pray and be there to support you. We're doing lots in the community. We've done things with the sheriff's department. We've been at Denton High School mentoring young women from 9th to 12th grade. We're everywhere. Honestly, we're everywhere. Outreach. We love outreach. We love education. We do book studies. We have a prayer call on Sundays. I mean, there are lots and lots of things that we continuously do trying to be a support to our sisters in whatever way we can possible.
Awesome, awesome. You know, when I think about Lilas and the organization, and yes, you all, I am a part of Lilas, so this is a passionate to me and for me. And Lilas has actually, through Michelle, helped to, might I say, get out of the boat, okay, and began to walk on water. And that's a book we're currently, some of the leaders of Lilas that we're currently reading. And so in doing so, Michelle, because we're reading that book, why do you think that it's tough for women as a whole to, or should I say, why are we challenged as women to get along? What's the challenge in all that? Because there's a stigma about the African-American community and women not being able to get along and work together. What's your take on that, and how is that different in Lilas?
Do you know what? I myself, when God first gave me the charge to head Lilas, and he told me what it was going to be. We're going to be a support to women. And I kind of in my own mind was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that, you know, because I immediately realized I was going to be working with women. And the problem that I believe that we have, the Bible says that it's not wise for us to compare ourselves. And I believe for some odd reason we are constantly doing that. You know, she looks better, she's built better, her husband is better, she has, you see what I'm saying? We're constantly acting in a foolish mentality to where we're not using wisdom. And so what? We keep ourselves separated. That's the trick of the enemy, to keep us separated. You know, the stigma is, you know, it's just about, it's that competitiveness that shouldn't be there, and especially amongst Christians. You know, me and Suzanne, we often say in Lilas, the difference is we are mature women that know God for real. Not in a religious form, but we know him for real, and we love our time together. I mean, if you guys see us together, you would just really be tickled because we hugging, you know, we're complimenting. Hugging again, we're taking pictures, we adore each other, you know, and then, you know, throughout the weeks we may text each other, but we're adults, and it's not childish games with us. We're women, and we get that we're women. We're busy women. You know, most of us are corporate leaders. You know, most of us, you know, are bosses in our positions of authority. You know, we're ministers, and we're busy people, so we cherish our time together. But away from each other, we're not trying to still monopolize each other's time,
makes sense. That's fine. That's beautiful.
We're adults.
So tell me this, what does sisterhood mean to you, and what's some good advice on building true sisterhood that you could give to our listeners on tonight? What does it mean to you? And to give us some advice that we could take on building true sisterhood.
Honestly, sisterhood to me, when I looked up the definition, it talked about it being a relationship between sisters, you know, association, a society, a community of women linked by a common interest. And I can honestly say that our common interest between us all is Jesus Christ. That's our interest. And we all realize that we're on different levels and different playing fields when it comes to spirituality. But the one thing that I love about us is we're not quick to judge one another. We're here to be
that's
a support.
Beautiful.
And that's what sisterhood is. It's not anything that tears you down and separates. It builds up. It encourages. It empowers. And I'm just, I'm delighted to be such a part of the lives of so many just beautiful women. A sisterhood is important. And when you don't have that, you don't have that safe place to grow. And that's what we're all doing. I mean, like you said, we're getting out of the boat. In reading that book study, we're realizing that, okay, guess what? In my spiritual life, I'm out of the boat, but in my professional life, I'm still in the boat because I really don't want to do public speaking. So we're growing. Lila's is to grow you personally, professionally, and spiritually. And I bless God that I have grown tremendously in all three of those areas.
Amen. Amen. So when I think of sisterhood, you know, a few words came to mind. And one was loyalty. Let's talk about loyalty when it comes to sisterhood. Can you talk about that and maybe give examples if you have any?
Wow. To me, and I'm so glad that you said that because I'm one of those individuals that I believe loyalty is about never forgetting what people do for you.
Yes.
And realizing that they don't have to do what they do for you. You see what I'm saying? And so and it's so funny, and it's so funny that when I first met you in the capacity of friendship, Monette came into our church one Sunday through Kasha. Somehow we all got together. We went to breakfast. You know, we had this talk, and I think we might have talked briefly about Lila's. And then Monette came into service, and there was a need. And I'll never forget this. My brother was needing to get a car. And the funny thing about it is God didn't move on any of us sisters to give him the money that he needed for the car. And but Monette is there, and God moves on her to give him $300. Now, in my mind, this is an individual that doesn't know him, and I just want to speak about the type of women, the loyal women that we have in Lila's, to where she heard the voice of God, and that obedience in her life caused her to do what God told her to do. And that was my first real entry into our relationship. And that's the type of person I am. I always question God. God, why am I such a good friend to people, but I never have good friends? How is that possible? God was showing me from distance somebody that was willing to be a friend out of sheer obedience to God. And that right there is the loyalty that you get from Lila's. We have sisters that have been unemployed. And as a collective body, you know, I know numerous groups that are throughout this metroplex, but most of those groups, when their own sisters are in need, they don't help them. Well, because we're loyal to each other, we've had sisters that were unemployed, and we went in our pockets, and nobody said, oh, I gave 50, I gave 200, I gave 200. Nobody said anything. We gave what we were able to give so that we could be a blessing to our sister because we don't want our sisters being without. You know, we take care of home. To me, that's what loyalty is. Loyalty says you're a part of us and we have to see after you.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, we talked about loyalty, and I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to loyalty. But, you know, a lot of times as women, we're so afraid of being transparent. You know, we're afraid of the other person knowing our secrets, knowing what's going on in our lives, whether it's pain, whether it's, you know, issues that we're dealing with whatever, you know. So speak on transparency when it comes to, you know, sisterhood as well as Lila's.
Right. That, again, is another point, a good point that you're making, the transparency part. What I found with Lilas, it's pretty hilarious that we're women are so used to hiding, right? So we get together and we plan to continue to hide, even as sisters, because I may be judged because of whatever my past experiences have been. God has, like, in our settings, you know, we do this one panel thing. It's the night with our elders. And we actually begin to talk about who we've been in the past. And most of the time, what I've noticed is that when Monette says, I did that, then you have five more women that say, oh, my God, I did that too. I didn't know it was somebody else that did that. And what we find out, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So what we find out through our talks and our peer time and our sharing is that we've all crossed the same bridges. We just crossed them at different times. You know,
right.
And so the transparency, because of Christ, we know that there's an appointed time to talk about those things in our life, but as we begin to open up and he allows us to open up, we just see that our sisters have hurt in that same way, you know, and then we're able to what? We're able to overcome together and say, well, you know what, this is how I did to get past that. And then somebody else says, okay, this is what God led me to do to get past it. And so we just continue to grow together. But what we realize is that in our silence, nobody's going to be helped. And so once we begin to even out our conditions, you know, and the Bible says that stuff in our past, we're not held accountable for that.
That's right.
There's no reason for us to hold that and clutch it. By getting rid of it and forgiving ourselves and getting it out of the inside of us, that benefits us. And then it benefits those that hear as well. So, yes, we have a major rule of constantly getting those things out that God has blessed us to overcome.
Amen. Okay, and you know, you said it so clear. You know, we have to be transparent and understand that there might be a sister beside us who has gone through or is going through some of the things that maybe God has helped us through, and we can't forget where we came from, but as moving forward, we can help others, you know, get to where we are. And not saying that you're better than anybody else. It's just that if you've gone through it and that's your testimony, it's okay to tell it to help others, to let them know that they can make it through as well. That's great. I got a couple of more words I'm going to throw out at you, and then I've got another question, and then we're going to open it up to the callers. Let's talk about respect in sisterhood and boundaries. I know that in Lila's, my experience is it seems that everyone has a level of respect for each other, and everyone shows that in their walk and their talk. Could you expound a little bit more about that, just respect and boundaries?
Again, another key point, respect is huge. You know, with Lilas, because we have a mentorship segment of Lilas, we have to be real conscious of how we treat the adult sisters, because guess who's watching? Our young people are watching. And we're trying to train our younger women how to be respectful and how to require respect from the others that they come in contact with. So respect is huge for Lilas, you know.
Yeah.
And all respect is not doing to anyone what you wouldn't want done to you. You know, we're not there. You know, it's not going to help Lilas, you know, for us to backbite and for us to gossip. That's not going to help our cause. Those things cause dissension. You know, and so what we're trying to do is we're trying to cleave to what's right, you know, and that's what respect is. It's just doing what's right when nobody's looking, you know, acting in integrity. And like I said, the women that are in Lilas are extremely professional. You know, these women are godly women, and when we come together, it's serious business. We're coming together to serve one another first and then to serve those that we come in contact with in the best spirit possible.
Amen. And the last word I'm going to throw at you when it comes to sisterhood and Lilas is the word love. That's also in the name Lilas. let's talk about love tonight and what it means in the sisterhood aspect, or in the aspect of sisterhood.
Right. Love is just huge. The Bible declares the world will know us by our love. And one of the things that we did last year that was just super sweet to me is that God was telling us that, you know, we needed to become mentors and we needed to be a help to our older sisters as well as our senior sisters as well as our young sisters. And last year we endeavored to be a blessing to your daughter, Ebony, in regards to school. The Lord just, I mean, out of nowhere, he told us we were going to bless Ebony and that we were supposed to get the younger sisters together and they were going to write her notes about staying in school, staying the course, you know, having great grades, and just encourage her. And it was so beautiful to me when you came into the kitchen area where the girls were doing the posters, and, I mean, they were working together in teams, and then the adults were just kind of around just watching them. And at the same time, we got to, you know, pen notes to Ebony and so on and so forth. And then we made her this care package of just different types of gifts, gift cards, food, just different stuff, because she was one of the first children that was going to college. You know, and that to me, those things speak magnitudes. It's easy to talk about how much we love, but love is action. You know, and when you love people, then you will, there will be an act to follow it. And so an action to follow. And I was just excited, you know, to bless her in that fashion. And we're looking forward to this year, 2015, blessing another individual and supporting them through their education this year.
Amen. And yes, I want to thank Lilas publicly. I know I have over and over again, but I just want to thank that organization and thank you, Michelle, for blessing my daughter. My daughter was not even present when there were other young girls and young men in the room, as well as the members of Lilas, just, you know, putting their thoughts together, putting notes together to motivate Ebony, and it meant the world to her. She still has that, the poster boards and everything this very day. And as a result, you know, of the motivation and the encouragement, my daughter is in her second year of college. So I just want to, you know, give a shout out to Lilas about that and just say thank you. She's on to pursuing her career as a pharmacist. So thank you guys for that. I really love Lilas and everything that you're doing in the community and for our children. So, Michelle, I have one more question for you, and then we're going to open up the lines to the callers, and I want to encourage the callers to ask questions. You can direct them to Michelle or myself, but we really want you to open up and ask questions about sisterhood or, you know, how to maintain a good friendship, relationship, marriage, whatever questions that you have on your minds tonight. I want you all to be encouraged to ask those questions. So, Michelle, you know, when I see you, you always have it together, girl, and I want to say you look good. Is there anybody that you could, you know, you're beautiful on the inside and the outside. I got to admit that, and I got to give that to you tonight. But I want to see if you have any advice to share with our listeners on how to maintain your composure, your looks, and juggle all the responsibilities that you have as a woman and just keep it together, because you are a mother of three beautiful daughters, you're a wife, you work, you're a manager where you are. I mean, you're a minister, you do a lot for the church, you do a lot for the Lilas organization, and then some. Girlfriend, how do you keep it together?
Monette, let me tell you, that is a question that I probably still need some help answering, because those are a lot of huge tasks. I'm a sister, I'm a cousin, I'm an aunt. I mean, there's numerous amounts of jobs that all of us women actually wear. But what I can honestly say is that, first of all, with God, without him, it would not be possible. Because that's where, you know, that song, there's a song that says, I go to the rock. That's where I have to go. But in going to him, God has always told me that never to look like what I'm going through, you know. And I'm telling you, I go through just like everybody else and probably 10 times more. But I've always purposed to never look like what I'm going through because I can't help somebody if I look worse than they do. You see what I'm saying? You know, and so then when the sister brushes up to me and says, well, I mean, it just seems like your life is perfect, this, this, and this, and then I can say, oh, no, I've been divorced 2 times. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with that. But I refuse to let the enemy be victorious, you know, and, you know, the look to me is very important because we have to look like we're trying to get somewhere, you know, and I can't look like where I am currently. I have to look into futuristically into where I'm trying to get to. The second thing, though, for me is to women to make sure that we let people know when we're overwhelmed. You know, on Sunday, and I talked to a couple of my sisters already this week about it, but on Sunday I had one of those melting points to where I just felt like I'm the only one in the house working and everybody's overworked me and nobody's helping, you know. And I had one of those moments to where I had to ask everybody to come to Jesus with me, you know, because we couldn't keep moving on as a household with one person carrying the household. That's not fair. And so I got together with the girls, and we sat down, and I said, I need some help. Y'all are 19, 16, and 13. Somebody can cook something. You see what I'm saying? Right. I had to begin to delegate because, sisters, we cannot continue like we're superwomen because we're not. I told them, I said, my mother was the ideal superwoman, but she died at 62. Why did she die? And I told them, I said, a lot of that, I believe, had to do with the hard work that she was continuing to put up with, you know, by herself. You know, I was a 20-year-old something young woman, and my mother was still doing my laundry. That's not fair. You know, now I realize, I didn't realize it wasn't fair when she was doing it, but now that she's gone, I realize how I could have helped so much. You know, and then that second thing, the third thing for me is just having that sisterly support and being able to call Kasha and say, okay, Kasha, for whatever reason, Clyde ain't acting like he's supposed to be. Can we pray? And guess what? He steps right in and says, okay, we ain't even got to talk about what's really going on. We need to pray. There's something going on in the marriage. I can call Monette and same difference. I can call Suzanne, same difference. We come to each other's aid. So you have to have that girlfriend support that's not just your cheerleaders and not just people that's going to hoorah you in foolishness, but people that love you enough to tell you the truth. Monette has told me some truth that I didn't want to hear. You see what I'm saying? But when you love somebody, you have to respect.
I'm going to call you after this call.
You are so funny. You are too funny. No, and you probably don't even remember, but remember when one of the exes was trying to just, you know, stir up trouble. And you were like, okay, let her try to stir up trouble, but let her do that without, you know, without you responding. And, you know, when your flesh is kind of, you know, in a rut, you want to be heard too. If she makes noise, you want to make some. And you were like, no, I don't think that's needed. Just let it go. And I did what you said, and guess what? It stopped.
Praise God.
And so a lot of times it's not going to be what we want to hear.
Exactly. Amen. So just being able to accept the truth and be able to tell the truth and present the truth in love and in sisterhood. Okay, right now we're going to open up our lines. I want to thank you, Michelle. We're going to keep rolling here, and we're going to give the opportunity to our callers to ask questions, stay concerned. Let's talk about sisterhood. Let's talk about how to become that total woman. Callers, are you out there? We need to hear from you.
Hello, this is Marilyn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, and you?
I'm great, thank you, thank you.
I have worked with Michelle, and she is a wonderful person. She is so much in my heart. We work together, not now, and I miss her. I don't see her every day. But the answer to your question is, in my situation, I have opened my heart two friends who walked away because of the ministry. I've had that happen recently. Someone that even lived in my area of Irving, Texas, and I hadn't seen her in at least 20 years. And she found me and got in contact with me. And the reason that the friendship went afar is she walked away because I was walking with God. And I didn't walk away from her. She's having health issues, which actually I'm giving her the prayer line number. And I check on her every day, take her out, pray with her, do different things with her. We've known each other since 17. That's what friendship is all about. It doesn't matter. It's not the person. It's the enemy. And now she's beginning, she has already begun the process of prayer, and she told me that all last year she's in church. So I'm very happy about that. But having someone to pray with, having someone to talk to, and they don't judge you because you're going through situations. God is our friend, and he's good. But he also gives us someone, and I wanted, with this person, I wanted to be who God wanted me to be. And I believe that Lila's helps me even more. I've been in the ministry for a long time, not as a minister, but under strong leadership. And we cannot put our emotions inside. We have to think about what would Jesus do? How would he accept? What would he say? And we have to walk that way. And I believe that Lila's women walk that way.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you for that input. And, you know, sometimes in life God will show you the individuals that you need to let go of and those you need to hold on to. Sometimes in life rejection is your protection. And then sometimes in life, God is saying, no, hold on to them because they're going to come around. But when you are led by God, the Bible says the righteous man's steps are ordered by God. And when your steps are ordered by God, he will let you know when it's time to let go or when it's time to hold on. And some friends you have to hold on to because in sickness and times of calamity, sometimes people change. I've seen individuals who get sick and they change for the worse. They get mean, they get angry, and sometimes it's not them. It's just the fact that they're hurting and they're dealing with pain, and that's when the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in us as Christians. You know, as women, sometimes we feel like we all always have to say something, but sometimes it's about sitting on the side of that loved one's bed and just holding their hand. Or praying for them, or telling them that you love them. It's not always that we have to talk and say stuff. So I commend you for being a friend to her and not giving up on her and winning her over to Christ. And that's what true friendship is all about. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
So moving on to the next caller. Who else is out there? We got a lot of callers on the line tonight. Did I hear someone? Okay, Michelle, it sounds like it's you and I again. I have another question for you. When I see you again, I see a total woman. What advice or direction would you give a young lady or woman of how to become that total woman? Where would they need to start?
Honestly, I would tell them to start with the word. It's God's word that causes us to overcome. And so I would really tell an individual to make sure that they are in, first of all, a church to where the word is coming forth, because Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and therefore you need to be in a word church But you're also going to have to study and you're going to have to apply yourself. My father was so instrumental in my growth. You know, as I stated before, I endured, you know, two failed marriages. And in doing that, you know, the devil came, and what did he want to do? He wanted to take me out of here, you know, because of that. You know, because as women, we go through that, oh, my gosh, I'm a failure, I'm not good at something, people talking about me. You know how we do. We make, you know, a little tiny anthill this big giant, you know, volcano. You know, and that's what I did to myself with my own mouth. But once I realized what I was doing, you know, because of having such a sound family, my family is such a sound family, lots of ministers, just lots of love. My father's so wise. And so I was just undergirded with the right stuff. But the reason that Lila is so important is because everybody doesn't have the foundation that I had, you know, and that's why it's so important to me. I can honestly say, I mean, I have had the best of father, best of sisters, best of cousins, you know, but there are some people that have moved here from different states that don't even have any family members here, you know, and I feel for those people, and those are the people that Lila's heart is for, to be that support to their family in their absence. You know, and so honestly, it's very important to center yourself around people that are going to promote health and wellness in your life, you know, and whether that be a girlfriend, whether that be a boyfriend, you have to be around the right individuals, because if you're not, then it's going to either elevate you or it's going to promote you. You know, so it's just very necessary to have the right people around you speaking into your life.
Amen. You know, we as women or as individuals, sometimes we think that everyone knows how to build relationships. Everyone's not that good at it, right? So what would be some advice that you might give to our audience on tonight about building, you know, healthy relationships rather than destroying relationships? But one thing that I did notate here was, you know, keeping your motives pure, knowing who you are, you know, be happy for one another. And you mentioned that earlier, supporting one another. But even that, if we talk about keeping your motives pure when building relationships, what would you have to say about that?
Honestly, everything that you just said, Monette, was fantastic tips and that are key for individuals to take those away, because all those were good. But on top of that, I would say to women, friendship begins with you. You can't expect somebody to be the friend that you're not. You have to emulate what you need in your life. You know, and that's the one thing that I can honestly say when I would pray, and I'll be honest, I've even told you, I prayed for the right friend. Because I was like, Lord, you know, how can I still, you know, at 30-something years old, have the wrong people around me? What am I doing to where these people that are not good for me are continuously coming into my life? And God just had to tell me, Michelle, it begins with you. Right now, you are so focused and fixated on me sending somebody, but you continue to be that friend. You continue to plant those good seeds, and I'm going to cause you to reap a harvest. And so guess what? I continue, and now I look around me, and I'm just like, oh, my God, are these actually my friends? I have amazing women in my life, you know, even to the point to where, I mean, people are saying, is that your cousin? Is that your sister? I mean, how are y'all so close? That kind of thing, because we care for each other deeply, you know.
Yes. You know, the Bible even teaches us, he who finds friends must first find themselves friendly. And I remember one time my daughter was telling me that she wanted friends. This was early on in high school, and she was going through that puberty phase where, you know, you couldn't hardly get her to smile. She wasn't really that likable.
And I just looked at her and said, you know, the Bible says in order if you want to have friends, you have to find yourself friendly. I said, are you smiling? Are you happy? Are you being a Debbie Downer? Are you complaining all the time? Are you negative? You know, I don't know about you, but I really don't like spending my quality time with individuals who are negative, who are Debbie Downers, who always have something, you know, negative to say. So in building friendships, as you mentioned, it's important that we build healthy relationships because I've been in friendships where I almost felt like me and that individual, the female, we were married, and that individual treated me almost like we were in a relationship. And that was a little weird and strange for me. But what I realized was that that individual had high expectations for me that I could not fulfill. I just couldn't fulfill it. I know there are times that, you know, we will all need each other, and we do need each other. But I believe there are some individuals who might be a little bit needier than others. And so if you're that type of individual, it's difficult at times if you're the type of individual who can't deal with needy friends who need you 24/7, if you get what I'm saying. Because when you are married and when you have children and when you have a job and when you're working at the church and when you're preaching and when you're teaching and when you're in the Lila's organization, it's very difficult when you have someone pulling on you 24/7 to be there for them, to call them. They get angry when you don't call. They get angry when you don't respond to certain things. If they tweet something and you don't say something, then they're mad. You know, how do you deal with those type of individuals if you're not that type of individual who can take on that challenge?
Monette, I try to not have those types of individuals, and I'm just going to be as honest and as frank as I can. I try not to have those types of individuals in my life because, like you just said, I don't have that time. We are 40s heading to 50s real soon, you know, and
yes.
Like you said, we're everything to everybody, you know, mm-hmm. And that needs somebody that has that type of spirit. They have to take that to the Lord and try to get some deliverance from that, because that's a spirit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a spirit of being consumed with yourself to where you can't let other people fulfill their own obligations, you know? Yeah. Maybe when I was younger, but as an older adult, I don't have friends like that. And I'm so thankful. Me and Suzanne actually had a talk about this. I'm so thankful that the women of Lila are not needy like that. Now, am
mm-hmm.
I saying that we never have needs, that we have to come to each other's rescue? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the constant, you were with her last week, and I haven't seen you, and that kind of stuff. That's childish, you know, and we're grown Christian adults that are trying
That's
to
fine.
Mentor kids, that are trying to make a difference in our community, that are trying to serve others, and we don't have time to be consumed with that type of foolery.
Amen, amen. So, Michelle.
Hello, lady.
Oh, yeah, hi. You got a caller? Hi.
We do. I'm sorry. This is Tamika. I was actually on, I guess, the line where I was on the listen only. I don't know if maybe some of the other people were on listen only, like where you couldn't hear me at first when I was speaking. But anyway, how y'all doing?
We're good. How are
good.
You?
I'm well. I know Michelle from childhood. And I love some of the things that you all are talking about because I was once in another sisterhood. And the things that you all are saying that stands for sisterhood is all great. It's great, 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 great. I love Lilas. I love Michelle. She's always have a giving heart. But
yeah.
I want to piggyback on what y'all was just talking about. Those
okay.
needy friends. Ooh, y'all, I got one. So we need a friend. And she feels offended when I don't answer the phone or I don't talk to her. And it's not that I don't love her, but how do you handle women like that? What would you do or suggest
but it don't really hurt their feelings, but that you can't be there for them all the time. What? How do you all handle that?
Michelle, you want to answer that?
Yes. Okay, so Tamika, is she a Christian?
Okay, we got to be honest on this line, right?
Yes.
I'm funny, so y'all just have to laugh the joke off. I'm real funny, real silly. We all say that we are. If you
okay.
walk like we do, maybe not.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So, honestly, the first help that she needs is Christ. You know, because I believe if she had him for real, that the Bible said you would be able to reason together, right? So as Christians, we're not going to always agree, but
that's
because
right.
Christ is the center, we know that we have to sometimes even agree to disagree. You know, honestly, just like you said, I really think this is an individual that needs Jesus, one, and then that's going to have some prayer, and then that's going to have to realize that in friendships and in sisterhood, you have to be more conscious of the sister than even yourself. Like, a lot of times I need Monette, like at nighttime, for something with Lila. But you know what I do before I call Monette? I think about John. I think about him being at work. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think about Monette being everything to everybody. And then quite often I say, you know what, I'll call her first thing tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? That's me being conscious and respectful of our sisterhood. Because
yeah.
when you love your sister, you don't want to hurt them or harm anything that they have. But
right.
on the flip side, when you are being a so-called friend, you know, sometimes we may have a tendency to be reckless, and it's just because we don't know any better. I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
there's evil intent there. It just sounds like this is a young woman that may not have had the proper guidance in being a friend and that type of thing. Monette, you can jump in. I'm done.
Well, can I say
okay,
something? This is Tammy.
Sure, Tammy.
When you're talking about needy friends, I remember – and Monette knows how I am, and I've always said, I used to always say, I cannot deal with needy people. I just can't. But it was so funny that when I found Christ, or when I got closer to Christ, that's all that I was aware of. It was like he was just bringing them in my life. And so, Michelle, for you to say, you know, as a Christian, we have to learn how to agree. We have to be in agreement. We have to know how to, you know, you have to know how to love and be kind. And I was like, Lord, you're testing me. You know what I mean? Like, Lord, you're really testing me. You're saying if I want a relationship with you, I have to learn how to deal with all types of people. I can't say I can't deal with this person and I can't deal with this person. I have to get myself in a position where I'm able to deal with everybody. Now, needy people can tend to wear you out, but, you know, at the same time, sometimes God puts people in our lives just to see, test our patience, just to see if we're for real about our Christian life.
Exactly. And Tammy, I would totally agree with that, but the thing is that it's a way that you do deal with needy friends, and you do have to handle them with care because you can make them or break them. But at that same time, you have to help mature them in the Lord. It's just like having a baby, and, you know,
right.
first they're in diapers, and then you have to teach them to, hey, now it's time for you to crawl, you know. And
right.
the needy individuals who may not know Christ as well as you, you have to let them know that you are not their God. You are not
yeah,
their God.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you have to get to the source. You have to figure out, why are you so needy? What's going on with you that you feel like, you know, that you need to pull on me 24/7 because you're not going to be able to. And then you have to openly communicate with them. And it may hurt, and they may like it, may not like it, and they may not ever call you again. And if that's
right.
the point, you keep praying. If that's the case, you keep praying for them, and you keep moving. But if they're maturing, then they're going to understand, this woman has a life, and she cannot hold my hand 24/7. Amen?
Right.
We have 5
Amen.
Minutes before this call ends. And first and foremost, I would just like to tell Michelle, thank you so much for being our host on tonight. As the time is winding down, I'd like for you to talk about the next upcoming event for Lila's, and just
and be free about, you know, inviting anyone to that event and just let them know what's going on in the Lilas world.
All righty. Well, what we have coming up next is going to be February 28th. It is called Refresh 2015. It's going to be at Third Rail Lofts, which is downtown Dallas. It's going to happen in the entertainment, I believe in their entertainment and theater room. And the speakers that we have for the night, or for the day, it's going to start at 12:30 and it'll go to 2:30. Annette Monk, she's a senior recruiter, and she's going to talk about healthy career. We have Minister Wanda Willis Randall. She's a corporate leader. She's a director at her company, and she's going to talk about having a healthy spiritual life. We also have Carrie Davis, who's a licensed therapist, and she's going to expound on a healthy mind. We also have Rosinda Powell, who is a licensed dietitian and health coach, and she's going to talk about having a healthy body. And then lastly, we're going to have Dr. Holland Myers, and this is going to be the organization of the quarter. Lilas now has an organization for the quarter, and what we do is we actually volunteer with this organization at least 4 hours per month. And the name of the organization is Women Helping Women, and she's going to talk about a healthy outreach. And it's going to be a great time. These ladies are beautiful women of God. These ladies have lots of knowledge to pass on to us, and it is an open meeting. We'll have Lilas members and leaders, as well as those that are interested in becoming a part. And they're on site. Hopefully we'll have computers so that if you would like to go ahead and join, you'll be able to go to our website and do so right there on site. Yes.
Amen.
So that's what we have. That's our most recent event coming up. Again, that's February 28th from 12:30 to 2:30 at Third Rail. And the address is 1415 Main Street, and it's Dallas, Texas.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Michelle, for being our host on our star on tonight. And I love you. I want to reiterate that. I look up to you, and I appreciate everything you do, not only for Lilas, but for me and my personal life and the body of Christ as a whole. So thank you very much. I appreciate you. Also, I want to thank the callers, all of you. I see you online tonight. Thank you. You're a little quiet tonight, but I still appreciate your time and your effort to call in to listen to the Mojo Blog Talk radio show, which airs every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And with that said, I'm going to say a short prayer, and I want to encourage you to be the sister that you know how to be on every level. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you on tonight, oh Heavenly Father. We thank you for our guest on tonight and every caller under the sound of my voice. I ask, oh Heavenly Father, that you meet every need in their life. I also ask, God, that you would help them become that total woman in you. Whatever it is, God, that you're calling them to do, help them, God, to step out of the boat and begin to walk on water in faith, God, because with you we can do anything, but without you we can do nothing. So we want to say tonight, God, thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives and the things that you're yet going to do. Thank you for a beautiful 2015 and for blessing us and meeting every need in our lives and bringing those individuals that are in our lives to us, providing every resource of health, wealth, and knowledge, oh Heavenly Father. Above all things, God, we ask that you put more love into us, more love for our sisters, that we may be everything that you've called us to be in these last and evil days. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all for calling in. You be blessed. And have a wonderful week.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
people don't